It's Ascension Sunday, and today's text is going to come from Acts chapter 1, so you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 1 to 11. But ever since Easter, we've been looking at the different encounters that Jesus had with his disciples after his resurrection. To save some time, I'm just going to briefly summarize them. First we looked at how Jesus appeared to his disciples behind locked doors. We looked at doubting Thomas and how Jesus meets us in our doubts to turn our unbelief into belief. Then we looked at how Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and their eyes were kept from recognizing who he was until he was at table with them. He took bread and thanks and broke it, and their eyes were opened. And we talked about how Jesus is always with us, even when we don't recognize him necessarily, and we should strive to see him in every moment in our lives. And then also how present Jesus is amongst his people when we gather like this to take communion, to come to the Lord's table and remember him in the breaking of bread and the shedding of his blood. And lastly, we looked at when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the shores of the Sea of Galilee after they had been fishing all night, caught nothing, and Jesus told them to throw the net on the right side of the boat, and they hauled in 152 large fish. And we looked at how Jesus was calling his disciples, reminding them that they're not to be fishermen, but fishers of men. And how we also have a calling on our lives, and we looked at and questioned, what have we done with that calling? Are we walking in that calling? Have we responded? And this week on Thursday was Ascension Day, so naturally today we're going to be looking at how Jesus ascended to heaven. When Jesus says goodbye to his disciples. Goodbye, it was great visiting with you. Let's keep in touch. See you in a few months. Who here has a difficulty saying goodbye? Especially when somebody who we just love, like a close family member or a spouse or whoever it may be, the closer we are with them, the more difficult it is to say goodbye. I want all of you just to take a moment, and think about a particular time that was really difficult for you to say goodbye. What were some of those things that you said during that goodbye? As you think about saying goodbye, can you recall any perhaps common thoughts that you seem to normally express to the person you're saying goodbye to? As I think about saying goodbye, three basic ideas come to mind. And perhaps some of these come to your mind as well. Perhaps they're totally different. But first, when I say goodbye, I find myself kind of quickly reviewing, referencing the time that I shared with the people that I'm saying goodbye to. The conversation might simply go, well, thanks for inviting us. It was great to be part of this wedding, to witness this young couple starting their lives together. The second part of a typical goodbye for me is a promise or to make plans to keep in touch on a regular basis. How many of you do this? I think most of us do this one. We often say something like, we really need to stay in touch more. Let's message or call more often. What's the best platform to message you on? And the third and final thing that often comes up when we say goodbye is making plans for when we're going to next see that person. Sometimes those plans can be tentative. Sometimes we still can't be able to say goodbye without at least proposing some plans for the future. And with these elements, these parts of saying goodbye in mind, let's take a look at what Jesus did when he said goodbye to his disciples. So let's read together Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. And if you don't have your Bibles, there's some in the pew for you, and we also have them up on the screen for you as well. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." So here Jesus says goodbye to his disciples. And this morning we're going to explore three things using similar ways we say our goodbye today. We're going to, one, recall that what Jesus accomplished during his time visiting us here on earth. We're going to receive Jesus' promise to keep in touch. And we're going to remember Jesus' promise to see us again. After Jesus' ascension, these timid followers, these disciples of his, became totally committed missionaries for him. The good news about Jesus spread out around the Roman Empire through the disciples and evangelists like the Apostle Paul. God's word was brought to a great number of people through his disciples. But all of that success can be traced back to these verses we're reading today. When Jesus said goodbye to his disciples, he promised and predicted all of it. In his final goodbye before his ascension, Jesus outlined what was going to happen. So first, we're going to recall what Jesus accomplished on earth. The first aspect of Jesus' farewell that Luke mentions is how he reviewed the mission he had accomplished. Before he said goodbye and returned to the seat of glory at his Father's right hand, Jesus reminded his disciples of what he had accomplished. The author of Acts, Luke, refers to the first book he wrote, the Gospel of Luke. There, Luke records Jesus' life and ministry, which helps us remember what Jesus did, what he accomplished. And Luke writes that after Jesus was raised from the dead, from the grave, he gave his disciples many convincing proofs that indeed he is alive, that he lives. So much so that when he appeared to his disciples, he asked for food that he could eat, that they could see that it's physically him eating physical food, placing their hands and fingers on his wounds and on his side. Guys, Jesus being alive gives us proof that he had done everything necessary for our salvation. The fact that death had no power over him showed that the curse of sin and death had been broken, and that Satan's power had been crushed. Because the disciples were slow to believe and understand that what Jesus had done, Jesus spent 40 days with them, saying goodbye and teaching them, reminding them, and telling them about what the kingdom of God is. In that time, he reviewed the purpose in his coming into the world. We may say that reading about Jesus' goodbye to his disciples can't have the same impact on us as it did on them. After all, we don't get to hear him teaching face to face. We're unable to see physical convincing proofs that he is alive. But let's not just jump to that conclusion too quickly. We have the written record, guys. We have God's word given to us where we can read all about his wonderful plan and purpose and the things that Jesus has accomplished. By opening God's word, we can read about the convincing proofs that Jesus offered and did to establish the fact that he paid for our sins. And today, as we recall Jesus' ascension, it is important for us to remember this part of his goodbye. What Jesus was sent to do by the Father, he accomplished it completely. If a person doesn't finish their job, they're usually sent back to do that job until they're finished, right? If your boss sends you to do work and you come back and haven't done it, he says, go finish it. Or he may get someone else to do that work and you'll be looking for another job. Who here, if you ask your children to do something like the dishes and you expect them to do that thing, right? And if they come back to you and it's not done, what do? Parents, go finish the job. Now, kids, you get rewarded for that, right? Because you learn how to do things. Valuable skills that your parents teach you. Same with our Heavenly Father. But Christ's ascension means Jesus finished his work. Jesus finished his work. The Father didn't have to send Jesus back to Bethlehem to start over, or to back to Nazareth to finish things up, or back to the cross to complete the work of atoning as a substitute for our sins. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus finished exactly what needed to be done. And the Apostle Paul connects what Jesus accomplished to his ascension in Ephesians 4, 8 to 10. It says, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus is the God-man, meaning God himself came into this world, being conceived by the Holy Spirit and birthed by the Virgin Mary. He took the form of a man. Think about this, guys. God took the form of a man, subjected himself to the human experience. Jesus lived like we lived, experienced life like we do. Not just the good and joyful things of life, but also the bad things, the pains, the sorrow, the suffering, the troubles, even death, and a brutal death at that, suffering on a cross. Why? Because humanity was doomed without a Savior. Sin had us defeated. Only God himself could save us. So he came to rescue us. Jesus fulfilled the law, lived a perfect life. He did no wrong. He knew no sin. Yet he was made into sin, into our sin, and he paid that price of punishment and death on the cross, that in order that anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will be forgiven and washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. That is such good news, guys. And we can't forget it. That needs to be constantly at the center of our church, our lives, of what we're doing. Today, as we read about Jesus leaving to go to the Father, it is beneficial for us to recall what he accomplished and declare that. Next, we should seek to receive Jesus' promise to keep in touch. Many times when we say our goodbyes, we make all these promises to keep in touch. I usually say something like, let's stay in contact. What's the easiest way to do it? WhatsApp? Do you use WhatsApp? And as many of you know, or who know me, this may not last too long. I'm kind of terrible at returning texts at times. Perhaps that's because I get overwhelmed by them, but I think often we kind of, it works for a while and then we kind of fall out of touch, right? I hope I'm not the only one. Someone rescue me here, come on. Okay, a few of you guys. But that promise or effort, it fades. However, when Jesus said goodbye, his promise is more than just empty words. They're true. Acts 1, 4-5, it says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.' For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You see, Jesus would keep in touch with his disciples by sending them the Holy Spirit. Just before his final goodbye, Jesus repeated his promise to keep in touch. John 16:7. It's good news for the disciples. It's good news for us today. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." And guys, the Holy Spirit is that Helper that Jesus is talking about here. And this is part of God's awesome plan that his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, draws near to this world, draws near to us, lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and he keeps in touch with his church through the Holy Spirit. It resides in God's people. He resides in God's people, the Holy Spirit. We read about that next in Acts 1, verses 6 to 8. "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.'" You see, the disciples were grasping at this concept about when the kingdom would be established. And Jesus' followers were waiting for God to restore the kingdom of Israel, that once again, something similar to the throne of David would be established, that Israel would be freed from Roman oppression and any other oppression from any other nation. And they did not understand that Jesus had set humanity free from even a greater oppressor. What oppressor is that, guys? Sin. From the oppression of sin, and that his kingdom would partially be established in the people of God, in his church, until it's fully ushered in on that time that the Father only knows when Jesus will return. And Jesus answers his disciples plainly that no one but the Father knows the time. And then he changes the focus to what must be done while they wait for that to happen. They had a mission to carry on. And as disciples carried out their mission, Jesus would give them the power they needed. Amen? He would send the Holy Spirit to them. And we'll get more into this next weekend as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. But as we connect it to Jesus' ascension, we can see how Jesus promised to stay in touch with his disciples. Acts 1:9, then Luke says, "And when he had said these things as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight." Man, what a thing to witness. Wow. Today, as we recall Jesus saying goodbye to his disciples and consider his promise to be with them, we're compelled to ask ourselves, are we living in the power of this promise? When Jesus said goodbye to his disciples, he spoke words that apply to us today as believers, as his church. We too are given the promise of the Holy Spirit. This week, as I was preparing for this word, I came across a story that told of a family in the remote mountains of Tennessee who went through a great deal of effort to have electrical power installed to their home. After the power lines were put in by the electric company, they noticed that the family didn't use much electricity at all. Very minimal. In fact, the meter barely even registered any usage. So they sent a meter reader out to check if the meter was damaged or broken. And the man from the electric company knocked on the door and said, "We've looked at the amount listed on your meter. You guys, do you even use electricity? You went through all this effort of installing power here. Do you even use electricity?" And they said, "Oh yes," they said. "We turn it on every night for a minute to see enough to light our kerosene lamps. And then we switch it off again." But isn't that the way we often apply the power of God through the Holy Spirit in our lives? And we ought not to do that, guys. He has given us so much, and we use so little too often. The power of Jesus' ascension offers us so much more. Apostle Paul declared in Ephesians 1:19, he said, "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Man, that is powerful, guys. Let's not lose sight of that. That same power which raised Christ from the dead is at work in us, in his church. How amazing is that? Let's not ignore it. Let's not forget it. Let's not quench it. The word goodbye has an interesting history. It is a contraction of "God be with ye." Did you know that? So in early forms of the English language, people who said goodbye were really expressing the wish that the person they were leaving would be kept safe by God. Isn't that cool? So when we hear Jesus say goodbye to his disciples, we hear his desire, promise, that he will be with them. Jesus said in Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always to the end of the age." He will never leave us. And even though Jesus said goodbye and physically ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, he has not left us, guys. He has not left us. He is with us through the presence of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we're starting to run out of time here. Remember Jesus' promise to see us again. We said that the last part of our goodbyes often include plans to get together again in the future. Luke records of Jesus saying goodbye to disciples includes Jesus' plan for a future return to us. 10 and 11 says, "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.'" Praise God. And you know what Jesus went to do? He went to prepare a place for us. That one day he will return from heaven to take us to be with him. John 14:2-3 says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus ascended into heaven to prepare a place for you and I and for everyone who is in Christ Jesus. Now that is a reason to be excited, guys. We have a reservation in God's house where we will be welcome there forever. This life is temporary. It's fleeting. It's like a mist that appears and vanishes. And then we enter eternity. But what we do in this life matters where we will end up in eternity. And that is why everybody needs Jesus, for to be set free from their sin. And not only that, we'll receive glorified bodies like our ascended Lord's body. Revelation 1:5-7 says, "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." Everybody will witness the return of Jesus. It won't be invisible, guys. Every eye will see. Christ's ascension is now a symbol, a reminder of our own ascension. And we are to use it to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, 18 talks about that. "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." What an awesome promise we have in Jesus Christ. What a future hope we have to look forward to. But as we wait, we must recognize that we have a duty to fulfill. A mission, a co-mission together with Christ and each other to accomplish. We're not to stand around like we read about the disciples looking into heaven, staring with our mouths open. But we're to be working to spread the wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to see others enter into the kingdom. Our Lord commands us, and I'm going to end with this, Matthew 28:18-20, well-known place. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" We're to be disciples making disciples. And we don't do this on our own strength, in our own power. We don't have the power to save anyone, but we know the one who does, and that's Jesus. And we point people to him. We tell people about him. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we're to be his witnesses in this world. And we're reminded of what he did as we come to the communion table today.